Now that's God's plan. But look what he puts into chapter 11, verse 15. Always, each of these chapters has a powerful application. Verse 15. And when the seventh angel sounded, there were loud voices in heaven saying, and this is from the Hallelujah chorus of Handel's Messiah, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of us, of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And when the 24 elders, now stop and think about this. What's going on? We're switching back and forth in Revelation between earth with all these judgments and destruction and wars and heaven. The throne of God we talked about, remember extensively, with all those angels and the saints and concentric circles and the fire and the crystal sea that you can see the reflections in. It's always cutting back and forth between heaven, where there's worship and calm, and earth, where there's destruction. And look what happens. Up there, the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces. And what does it say in verse 16? Worshipped God. God expects worship. That's the lesson of chapter 11. So what is worship? If they're falling down in verse 16 of chapter 11 on their faces and worshiping God, well, look at the slide in front of you. God expects worship. Why? Because this is what it does to us. God quickens our conscience by his holiness. When we worship God and see how holy he is, it all of a sudden makes our conscience alive to realize that we should be holy like he's holy. He nourishes our minds by his truth. When I read this book, it feeds my mind. The scriptures are the best source of good mental health. To make your mind nourished on the word makes it healthy. He purifies our imaginations by his beauty. A little bit later, I'm going to talk about this fellow that was so addicted to gaming that he just was living in depression and discouragement and hopelessness. But God wants to purify our imagination and open our hearts to his love. Basically, we get calloused and hardened, kind of, you know, without any feeling, we get desensitized. But worship opens our hearts to his love. And look at chapter 19 of Revelation, verse 10, talks about worship being submission to God. We submit to his will. So basically, chapter 11 gives us this prophesied temple, the two witnesses, and kind of like the physical backdrop for what we would call Armageddon or World War III. Now we're going to chapter 12. Chapter 12 is fascinating because all of a sudden we get into this unusual symbolic world that ties together what we would call God's plan of the ages. Let me start in chapter 12. And this is Jesus revealing to John that the aliens, the real aliens that are attacking our world, is something that's been going on since the time of the fall and onward in creation. And it says, in a great sign, so now we have that symbolic, this is chapter 12, verse 1, appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Now, what is that? Well, that is God's amazing plan of Satan versus Israel. And that's Revelation 12, 1 through 3. Not 23, that's a mistake on the slide. It's just verses 1 through 3. So look at the picture there. See the woman? Do you see the 12-star kind of diadem she's wearing? Notice that she's sitting with the sun behind her and the moon under her feet, and then there's that dragon coming for her. Wow, look what it says. Verse 2, and being pained with child, she cried out in labor and pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, a great fiery red dragon. See, that's in the slide. Having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems. And verse 4, with his tail, he drew in a third of the stars. So what is going on? Well, basically this. The woman with the 12 stars and the sun and moon immediately takes us back to the book of what? Genesis. Who was the dreamer? Who was one of the 12 sons of Jacob that was always having dreams? Do you remember that? the dreamer, Joseph. And Joseph said he dreamed that all of the sun and moon and stars bowed down to him. And of course, it made his brothers mad and kind of offended his dad and his mom. So we have this woman, and we have the sun, moon, stars, and moon. Sun, moon, and stars. And then we have the child. Then we have the dragon. So that's basically the cast members of chapter 12. Well, the woman is Israel. That's the 12 stars and the sun and the moon, which basically is Jacob and his wife. I don't know if it's talking about Rebecca or Leah, and then the 12 sons. And so this woman portrays Israel, the nation, the 12 tribes. The child is the promised one that would come through the tribe, one of the 12 stars, of Judah, which is Messiah. And what it says is the dragon that waits for the birth and tries to devour the child is Satan. That's the great sign in heaven. You know what that is? That's a reminder that from the beginning, there's been a cosmic battle going on. All the world events are just kind of the visible playing out the invisible cosmic battle going on between God and the adversary of God, which is Satan. Revelation 12 contains two signs, sign of the woman and the dragon. God continues to show his unfolding plan. The woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet. In addition to Revelation 12:1, this is just one of actually four women that are used as symbols or pictures in Revelation. I don't know if you remember them. Back in chapter 2 and 3, we saw in 2:20, Jezebel was a picture of paganism entering the church. Here in chapter 12, verse 6, the woman is a picture of Israel. A little bit later, when we get to chapter 17 in a couple of days, the woman riding the beast is, of course, a picture of the apostate church and global religion. And then finally, praise the Lord, in chapter 19, the woman in Revelation 19, clothed in white raiment, is a picture of the church. So there are a lot of women used symbolically in the book of Revelation, but this one is all about Satan's plan.